Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Deary. Today's message is titled New Year, New Me, Part 2, My New Identity. In this message, we dig deeper into what it means to have a new identity in Christ and how God wants to take us to new levels as new creations in Him. Listen in, take notes, and I'll talk with you at the end of the broadcast.
So I began understanding as I started going through the Word that God said, I will meet your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah. See, you're trying to meet your need by your thought process and by your training. But I'm going to meet your need in a different way. I'm going to meet your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And son, the first thing I need you to understand is that you got to stop trying to get and start trying to give. One of my first lessons as a new creation was stop trying to get and start trying to give. Now, we hear the word give, we think about money. But what I had to get my mind wrapped around is that when I went to work, I had to stop going to work to get money. I had to start going to work to give something. When I showed up at work and I started giving something, all of a sudden, my gift made room for me. You understand? I got off the world system of trying to work to get, and I got on the kingdom system about going to give. And when I began to give, God started to open doors for me. And that which I was trying to hustle on the side to get, God made up in the way and the place where He put me, because God will meet my needs according to His riches and glory if I can do what God told me to do. Amen? But that's a new creation mentality. That's a new creation mindset. And you can't change until you know why you need to change. And no matter how much of a new creation you want to be, you can't be new and old at the same time. I've tried it and it's not possible. You cannot be a new creation and an old man at the same time. And you know why that's hurtful to Christians? Because sometimes when we've been saved for a long time, we have an investment made. We've been around a long time. And sometimes now it's our turn to be something. And when we time to be something, if we don't understand that God's still trying to make you new, you start wanting to settle down when God is trying to advance you. Amen? Amen. Man, guess what? I could have stayed at my old church and been respected. But God said, no, you got to grow. You got to grow. And so you got to grow. So I'm going to take you and put you somewhere and I'm going to make you grow. And how you're going to grow is I'm going to put you in a position where you can't hide. I'm going to put you somewhere where you can't hide, where you can't be all this on Monday and then disappear on Tuesday. I'll put you in a position where you have to be what you say you are all the time because everybody's looking at you. Because that was my next stage of growth. See, the transformed mind is the key to moving with God. Because you can be how you were before you came to God. But it's not until you get your mind renewed that you get in a position where somebody doesn't have to make you do. You do because God says to do. Amen? Religion makes you do. The kingdom invites you to. Religion says you have to do this. The kingdom says, behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom. You have access. See, God wants to give us the kingdom. That's what Jesus told his disciples. They wanted to make him religious. He said, who do you say I am? They said, oh, some people say you're this and that. Guess what? You must be one of the prophets. Because they wanted to make him religious. He said, but who do you say I am? And then they were stuck. And Peter finally got the revelation. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He said, great, because flesh and blood couldn't reveal that to you. But my Father had to give it to you. In other words, somebody didn't have to come teach you and make you. The Father revealed it to you. And with revelation, he then gave you the opportunity. Which is why then he follows up that statement and says, behold, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Because keys represent access, and they don't represent somebody else doing something for you. If you come to my house and ring my bell, I have to get up and come to the door. But if I give you a key and you ring my bell, when I come to the door, my question will be what? Why didn't you use your key? Are you with me, saints? New creation mindset means you can't be old and new at the same time. You need to understand Jesus is giving us keys to the kingdom, and we have to stop begging God to do stuff for us that God has given us keys to do. A new creation mindset starts to realize, wait a minute, I'm identified with Christ. Look at this passage. If anyone is in a Christ, if anyone, tell your neighbor, say anyone,
anyone.
Means anyone. Any one of us, therefore, if any one of us, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. When you are in Christ, you are something different. Even if you don't feel different, you are something different. Even if you don't look different, you are something different. Even if you don't smell different, you're something different. No matter what your sensory human being tells you, your spiritual being is a new creation. Your spiritual man, the man on the inside, the person, the innermost who you are, when you are in Christ, you are changed. Now, if what is inside this bottle is miraculously changed, how will we know? If the contents of this bottle miraculously, supernaturally was changed, it was water one moment, it became oil the next moment. When you look at the bottle, it looks exactly the same. It looks exactly the same, but something supernatural happened inside this bottle, and this bottle is now filled with oil when yesterday it was filled with water. How am I going to find out what happened on the inside? It has to be opened and it has to be released. Once it's released, woo, there was oil in there. Wow. Once it's released, all of a sudden I now know that I have oil. I need a tissue because I didn't plan to do this. Praise the Lord. It ain't lotion, so it ain't gonna rub in. Hallelujah. Listen, you're the bottle. You're the bottle on the inside of you. Something supernatural happened. When you said yes to Jesus, something supernatural happened to you, and what was inside of you got changed into something else. But the whole world is still looking at you like you're the old bottle because they don't know what's on the inside of you. And the only way that something inside of you is going to be revealed on the outside of you is God's going to have to do something to release what's on the inside of you. But because you are not used to having things released out of you, God has to do something different than he ever did in order to get what's inside you out of you. Sometimes that getting what's inside of you outside of you is called pressure. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Tell your neighbor, say, pressure's good for you. Amen. New year, new me. Amen. Don't run from pressure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There is a treasure inside this bottle. There's a treasure inside here. Woo! This bottle represents your earthen vessel, which is your body. There's a treasure inside this body. There's a treasure in here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. What's inside you, it came from God. Look at verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Guess what? The pressure you get in your life, it will not destroy you. It will press you. It will squeeze you. It will make you feel like you want to quit, but it will not destroy you, because there's a treasure in you that God's trying to get out of you. Come on, there's a treasure on the inside of it. We have a treasure in the earthen vessels, and we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Why? Because God is not going to allow you to be crushed. God has designed your pressures to release what's in you out of you. The treasure that God wants to release. What is the treasure? The treasure is your new creation power. It is your new creation life. It is life that is past what you imagine or think about. It's the power to seize you through the most challenging times, the most difficult situations. It allows you not to worry when things are all around you going the wrong way. Look at the next thing. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand what's happening around us, but I'm not afraid. I'm not despair about it. I'm not concerned. I'm not going to be fearful because I don't understand what's going around me. Because why? Because I know who I'm serving. I know God. I know God. That's why my worship as a new creation is so important, because my worship is my acknowledgement of who I know God is, so that when I'm in hard pressure or I'm in pressure, I'm under what is squeezing my life, I don't quit because I know who God is. Amen. When you get in difficult circumstances, difficult pressures, things are going wrong around you, you have an expectation that's not meeting what you think, that hard pressure when it comes, when you have worshiped God, it's something that happens to you that allows that pressure to happen, but God to still preserve who you are. Amen. Amen. Look at the next thing here. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Sometimes we believe that we've been persecuted, God's not with us. Persecution is usually evidence that God is with you. Amen. 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 Struck down but not destroyed, always caring about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in my body. I'm carrying around Jesus' death so Jesus' life can be seen in me. Amen? I need to remember the fact that Jesus is Lord so that the life of God can be remembered in me, so I can know, I can move in it, I can have it be my reality. I can always have who God is be what's going on in my life. You want to make this year be the best year ever, you have to recognize that you have to become a new creation. Everything else around you may never change, but if you change, it's going to be great. Amen. To change means to repent. So the goal of God making me a new creation is for me to begin to repent from who I was as an old man and be changed and transformed to a new life. Tell your neighbor, say, repentance is good. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Let's look at it again. There's two things that are being identified here that I want you to grasp, because there are two things that are really critical to who you are and how you're going to move to a new level. Amen? Amen? God's moving you to a new level. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to a new level. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. You're going to a new level, whether you like it or not. You're going to another level. Amen? Amen. Amen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Two things here. First is, if you're going to be in Christ, you get a new identity. First thing that happens when you're in Christ is you are given a new identity. Let's look at the next verse, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So the two things that happen when you become a new creation is, number one, you're given a new identity. And number two, you are given a new purpose. The new identity is in Christ. The new purpose is the ministry of reconciliation. And the ministry of reconciliation, breaking it down to a simplest part, is to walk in love. The two highest forms of love is, number one, to pray for people. And number two, to lead them back to their Creator. So the ministry of reconciliation, you want to walk in the highest levels of love. The two things you have to be able to do is, number one, pray for people. And number two, be willing to lead people back to God, who is their Creator. Those are the two highest forms of love. So when we look at this and it says, all things are new. All these things are of God. These things are of God. What things? Everything about you is new. Everything is about you is new because not only do you have a new identity, but you have a new purpose. So what is my new identity? Well, my new identity is, if any man be in Christ. The first portion of our new identity is that you are now being made and shaped into the image of Christ. So, Jesus, when we look at him live his life, we see certain aspects of who he was. We see, number one, he was a healer. The most significant thing, you look at Jesus' life, he walks around doing good, freeing those that are oppressed of the devil, according to the book of Acts. But what did that look like? It looked like him going from place to place, preaching the gospel, telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is here. Behold, I want to give you the kingdom. Listen, here's your father. He kept pointing people to God. He kept pointing people to God. He became a healer. But became a healer because he's pointing people to God and not to himself. So part of your new identity, if you're going to be like him, is that you have to begin to recognize that, number one, God wants to use your life. And God is using your life in a way that he wants to take who you are and build you into the image of Christ, so that in the image of Christ, you have no fear of doing what God calls you to do. But what if you have problems? What if you have issues? What if I don't look like Jesus today? What if I have hang-ups or issues or problems and I don't look like Jesus? Does that mean God can't use me? Your identity is formed from identification. Michaela, come up here, please. Okay. I want you to look at this face and look at that face. Somebody say what? That's my daughter, right? There's the resemblance, right? Yeah, so she got good features from her mother, and she got a couple of features from me. Amen. But because of our relationship, there's a recognition. And if I'm walking in the crowd and she's walking in the crowd, you can identify that we're together, that we look alike. Amen? Amen. So we can walk around and people say, oh, that's your daughter. Yeah. Why? Because you can see things that identify. Amen? Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Maya, come here, please. Now, when you see me and you see her, you identify, right? You say, okay, I see how she looks like him. Now, come here. You see this face? You see that face? Right? Another daughter. She doesn't look the same as that daughter, right? That's right. But she's got beautiful features from her mother, mm-hmm. and she's got a couple features from me. We don't all three look exactly alike, but we are all identified together. Yes. Michaela, come here, please. Okay, so they look like each other, and they look like me, but they look unique, right? So everybody's unique, right? All identified, right? All connected, right? All similar, right? But not all the same, right? Okay, y'all can sit down. I want you to understand the revelation here, because you get it, but I want you to get it in your mind. I want you to get it in your spirit. You don't look like your brother, brother or sister that's sitting next to you. You might resemble a little bit because you got similar features in that you're kingdom people, but you're not the same. But both of you, you and the person next to you, are still identified with your Father. And you're identified with your Father through Christ. Christ is the intermediary that brings us all together, and we all get features and different things from Christ. We're not all the same, so they don't have to compare each other with each other. They don't have to say, oh, I got this from mom and I got this from dad. They don't have to go through all that. Why? We're just sisters. We're related. We're connected. And we're always going to be connected. That's not going to change. And guess what? If somebody's walking with people, when those two are together, say, oh, she looks just like her. I say, well, wait a minute. Somebody told you she looked just like me. Your identification is important because you need to make sure that you recognize your identification with Christ. You belong to God through Christ. Your new identity and how you got to Christ or to God is through Christ. So everything about Christ, there's something about you. When you say yes to Christ, that you become grafted in, and there's something about Christ that you identify with. And because you identify with it, you become part of the family. Now, my Father is directly related to the two of them through me. They got stuff from him, but it came through me. And you get stuff from God through Christ, because Christ is the one who you're directly connected to, but he connects you then to the Father. So my last name is Moten because my father's name was Moten, and their name is Moten because my name is Moten. They got that name not from me, but from my father. They got the name from my father through me. You're a new creation in Christ to the Father. So you can't help but get stuff from Christ in you. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Why? Because you now have been reunited with the Father through Christ. And when you're connected with Christ, you're going to look like Christ. You ain't going to look at the same as your neighbor looks like Christ, but you look like him. If you line me and my siblings up, we all look different. But if you look, you'll see my father. It looks different in my sister than it looks in me. It looks different in my brother than it looks in me. But you look and you see it. Ooh, she said, that's Derry Moten's kids. But guess what? Not only did I get his look, I got his name. Y'all gonna catch that? I'm Derry Moten II. Not only did I get stuff from him, I got his name as well. And when I walk into place, I was here in Vallejo. I'd been living here for just for a couple of years. And I walked into this company, and I'm sitting down talking to the guy. He said, Moten, Moten, Moten. He said, when I was in the Navy, I knew a guy named Moten. He said, what's your first name again? I said, Derry. He said, yeah. He said, his name was Jerry. I said, he you look like him. He said, he's about 6'4".
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just different descriptions. Yeah, that's him. He said, he was a welder. I said, yeah, that's him. I said, Jerry Moten. I said, no, his name ain't Jerry, man. I'm telling you. His name was Derry, I'm trying to tell you. But I could defend the name because I know the name. You can't tell me who he is because I know who he is. Amen? Because I'm a new creation. I identify with the name. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I've been crucified. Yeah, somebody been reading their Bible. They know where I'm going already. Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what that means? It means I identify with Christ. It's no longer me that's living, because I've given my identity over to Christ. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. We call it the substitutionary work of Christ. In other words, Christ comes in and steps into my circumstances and receives my debt of sin, which keeps me from God. He bears it on himself so that I can then receive the righteousness that he had from God. So now, all of a sudden, because he steps into my relationship, he now then takes on the death that I'm owed. And I receive the righteousness that he had from the beginning of the world. Substitution. Somebody steps in for someone else. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ became one with sin so that I can become one with him in righteousness. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. Let's go back there. We're going to look at verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Verse 21, it says, for he made him. Now, who is he and him? He is God the Father, made him Christ. Amen. He made him to become sin for us. Who is us? Us is us, right? I want to make sure you connect us to us, right? We know who he and him are. Now make sure you know who us is, right? Us is us. He made him. The Father made Jesus to become sin for us. Say, I'm included in us. This is really important because you have to grab this as a revelation. You really have to grab this as a revelation. He made him to become sin for me. Why? That I might become the righteousness of God in him. See, this is why this revelation is important. Everything in the universe wants to do one of two things. It wants to either make you feel like you were born perfect and that you are perfect, or it wants to make you feel that you're totally condemned and that there's no space for you. And most of the time, those two things work together. They work together in that we start to call wrong right so we don't feel guilty because we don't want to be wrong. And so we have to call wrong right in order to be right, because inside we want to be right. But inside we also know that something's wrong. But because we know something's wrong, we don't feel good about who we are. Because we then have to now hide or shield people from finding out who we are on the inside, because we're pretending like right is wrong on the outside. And so the shell that gets built around us becomes the very thing that enslaves us. Because we're born with a sin nature. You're born flawed already. It's already real. So if I start to say the sin nature I'm born with is actually right, then what I start to do is I start to behave like it's everything's right. And then those things have their own penalty attached to them. And when I receive the penalty of those things that I'm doing wrong, those things then start to then continue to make it worse on the inside. And so the struggle goes on. So even Paul, the apostle, he had to say, he said, I know good. He said, but I keep finding wrong in me. He said, and I'm wrestling with it. I'm wrestling with this because me, the one who wants to do right, I keep finding in myself the power to do wrong. How am I going to get out of this? And then he said, I thank God. Woo, that through Jesus Christ, I always triumph. Amen. Because it's in Christ that you are able to be liberated and be able to say, yes, that is wrong, but I'm redeemed because I've been made the righteousness of God. But you can't become the righteousness of God when you're holding on to the old man. At some point, there has to be a change of heart that says, you know what? I recognize the old man for who and what he is, and I'm willing to let him go so that I can walk in the newness of life. Yeah. I can step out of the old man and walk into the new man. That's how God changes a person's life. That's how God brings deliverance into our lives. That's how God transforms our life. That's how God sets us free from bondages or challenges. That's how God sets us free, is because we can recognize and confess with our mouth what I was, and then confess with the same mouth who I now am in Christ. Man, isn't that powerful? Man, you don't have to be who you were yesterday, because you can be a new creation today and say, you know what? I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. I used to be a whatever, but today I'm a this. Today I'm a new creation. Today I'm righteous in God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Say, I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
I used to be. Don't say what you used to be. Okay. We'll just keep that. We'll keep that under wraps for now until you can tell it as a testimony. Amen. But whatever you used to be is what you used to be. But what you are today is a new creation. I got a new year coming, and I got a new thing going on because I am new today. I'm new today. I'm new every day. Every day I'm a new day. Every day I wake up brand new. Every day, even if my circumstances do not change, I change because I'm new. If my nothing around me ever changes, I change because I am a new creation. It doesn't say everything around me changed, so I became a new creation. It said I'm a new creation in Christ. Listen, Jesus changed the world without changing one person. He changed the world without changing one person. He didn't go to every single person and say, change, 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 change. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to change your life. He didn't go to every person and do that. Matter of fact, there's one passage that said Jesus' disciples were baptizing, yet Jesus himself baptized nobody. Because nobody could be that special person and say, I got baptized by Jesus. Who'd you get baptized by? I got the real Jesus baptism. You got a Peter baptism. Come on, man. You got a Bartholomew baptism. Who's Bartholomew, man? He baptized no one. Ephesians chapter 2. Come on, we're working on this new identity, amen?
Amen.
You're going to need the new identity to get where you got to go, amen?
Yes, amen?
You got to have the new identity. You can't let the old identity creep up on you. And guess what? You won't be perfect when I preach this, but guess what? You're going to be perfect when God makes you perfect. Amen? Amen. You may have a come to Jesus moment. He'll change your name on the spot. Amen? You come back and say, hey, my name ain't that no more. I got a new name. That's what happened to Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God one night. God's trying to tell him something. He's trying to tell God something else. And they had a wrestle. He had a wrestle with God. Woke up in the morning with a permanent limp. God said, I'm going to give you something that makes you remember who you was wrestling with. And by the way, you got a new name. Amen. If you see me limping, Lord, better change my name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 6. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start at verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses. Actually, I'm going to go back to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. How?
Together with Christ.
He made us alive together with Christ. Do you know what that means? That means when Jesus raised, you raised. Because you identify with him. See, whatever Jesus did, when you identify with his death, you identify with his life. Tell your neighbor, say, I've been raised. By grace, you have been saved. Really important there. You didn't raise because of your behavior. You didn't raise because you're beautiful. You didn't raise because you're smart. You didn't raise because you had the right family you were born into. You didn't raise because you grew up in the right neighborhood. You're not being kept down because you're born in the wrong neighborhood. By grace. Grace is the unmerited, unwarranted, unearned favor of God. Woo! Praise the Lord. Verse 6, and raised us up together. Tell your neighbor, say, I got raised up with you. In other words, you're not above anybody else. We've been raised together. He raised us up together. Isn't that powerful? That means if you sit down, if you're watching TV tonight and you see some TV preacher on there, you say, man, he's anointed. You say, praise the Lord, I'm anointed. Because you've been raised together. We have differing gifts, but we got the same anointings. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all don't seem excited about that. Praise the Lord. We've been raised together. 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 Amen? We've been raised up together. Guess what the devil tries to do? He makes you try to feel inferior to other people who are gifted. But you've been raised together with him. Woo, come on, man. The song you wrote is as good as any other song. Amen? Picture you drew is good as any other picture. The message you put together is good as any other message. Come on. Whatever you do in word or deed, when you do it as unto the Lord, is as good as anybody else has ever done. It's a matter of whether or not you release what God has given. I heard Tudor Bismarck say this. He said, I'm going all around the world. He said, I got songs that we put together, and we got 17 chords going all around. He said, and then some guy over here has got a song with 3 chords, and everybody's worshiping and praising God. He said, I'm trying to find out what the difference is. The difference is whether we trust the anointing or we don't trust the anointing. Amen. Whether we recognize we've been raised up together with him. I'm not inferior to anybody. Amen. Amen. I got stuff I wrote that I haven't published because it ain't good as such and such. You know what? I'm delivered from that. Amen. Because I read this passage that said, you've been raised up together. Amen. Come on, you've been raised up together with somebody else. The stuff you have, you're dreaming about doing for God, you need to do it. Why? Not because of any reason besides God gave it to you to do. Amen. You want to sow something and say, I want to do something for the church, but I'm not sure. Guess what? Forget all that. Do it. Amen. Come talk to somebody. Put what God's given you. Let's do it. Amen. Amen. But when we do it, we'll do it together. Yes. Why? Because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think about according to the power that works in you. And who is you? You is me. You is me. That's what you need to say. When he says you, he's talking to me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Look at this. He raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us once again. Where? In Christ Jesus. It has nothing to do with how gifted or talented we are. The royalty in the world is related to Jesus, not human royalty. Amen. I want to take you back to 2 Corinthians 5:21 again. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We're going to get ready to close in just a minute. I want to give you two more passages, but I want this revelation to really ring down in you, because you have to get this. You have to get this. When we start to get this, and it's progressive, you're going to get it at a level, and you're going to get it at a deeper level, and you're going to get it at a deeper level. It's going to keep getting deeper in you. But I want all of us to be able to do two things. You need to, one, be able to encourage your brothers and sisters. You need to be able to encourage one another. That, you know what? We've been made together. Come on. We're together in Christ. We got a new identity. We have a new identity. And then number two, once you can strengthen them, you need to recognize you. You yourself have a new identity. Amen? Look at this. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Every sin I ever committed, Jesus bore. Every sin I ever committed, Jesus bore. Which means that I no longer have to walk around in condemnation for sin. Now, here's the problem. If my heart isn't right concerning that truth, then what I say is, cool, I get to go sin. See, that's how the unrenewed mind receives it. The unrenewed mind says, wow, grace is here, which means I get to do whatever I want to do. That's the unrenewed mind. But guess what? It's out there. What grace means is grace says, son, I saw everything. I see you for who you are. I see you at your core. I see why you are the way you are. Son, I see things you don't see about yourself. I see generational curses passed on to relatives you didn't know you had. Woo-hoo! That you could not know certain things that are in you. He said, but I see it. And guess what? I will guide you with my eye, and I will lead you to new creation life, and I will make you what only I can make you. Amen. Amen. Identification. I want to hammer this home. Identification. We read in Galatians 2 that the life we live, we no longer live. Okay? Christ has been crucified for us. This says purpose. The reason he died is so that he, Jesus, who knew no sin, could become your sin, so that you could become the righteousness of God. See, what this does, this takes all the religion out of redemption. This takes all the religion out of redemption, because this makes redemption about a relationship between me and Jesus. And when I identify with Jesus, he makes me the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God in him. As long as I'm identified with Christ, I am the righteousness of God. Even if I fall, he said, if you fall, guess what? 1 John chapter 1. We already have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. If we fall, then what? We confess our sin. We confess it to God, who is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Why? Because I've already been made righteous. So all it is like a spot on a piece of glass. You put some Windex on it and wipe it away. Come on. Instead of sin being a weight that's going to hold me down for the rest of my days, sin is like a spot that God wipes away with the blood of Jesus. Because I identify with his death and with his resurrection, and I'm a new creation. Amen? Amen. I don't have a past that can hold me back. If I fail, it's because I didn't do something today, not because I didn't do it yesterday. Because every day is a new creation. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, it's because I'm disobeying God today. It's not my yesterday. Come on, you got to get yesterday out of your mind. Come on, some of us really, we got to get yesterday out of our mind, because the enemy will try to take your old yesterday and hold it in front of you today. And will paralyze you where you stand. Because, maybe God won't answer my prayer because I did this yesterday. Maybe God's not with me. Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe all these things, what? Maybe they won't. But you know what? The word says he's with me. Last passage. 1 Peter 2 and 4. I said there was two, and this is the second one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. I'm a new identity. I'm a new creation. In Christ, I'm brand new. What happened yesterday is yesterday. What happens today is the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24, talking about Jesus. It says, who, being Jesus, when he was reviled, that's verse 23, I'll read verse 23 to you. He who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, tell your neighbor, say, I'm dead to sin, might live for what? Righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. If you can receive your righteousness, you can receive healing. If you can receive righteousness, you can receive freedom and liberty. And your righteousness will never be predicated on how good you are. Your righteousness is always going to be predicated on your ability to receive Jesus. Receive Jesus. Receive it. He died so I can live. He became sin so I can become righteousness. I identify with who Jesus is. And because I identify with him, I have the right and the access to God in all ways. That's why I'm a worshiper. I don't worship because I like singing. I worship because I recognize what Jesus has done for me. See, what did Jesus tell the woman at the well? He said, the Father is seeking those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what kind he's looking for. He's not looking for the religious that show up at the right place. He's not looking for people who have everything together. He's not looking for that. He's looking for those who will worship him in spirit, in their spirit, from the innermost man. Can they worship him in spirit and in truth? That's why, remember, the one thing that a human being can give to God that God did not provide for us is worship. That's why worship cannot be forced. Worship that's forced is not forced. Worship has to be what comes out of us because, like I said, praise, God gives us a reason to praise. But worship is saying, I love you, God. Lord, I love you. I worship you because I recognize you. So what I want to do really quickly here is I want us to identify. We'll take a minute and identify. What I want to identify is I want to identify the goodness of God. Worship is the recognition of something greater than you. When we worship, it's a recognition of something greater than who we are. So I want to take a minute right now, and I want us to, as new creations, recognize what God has done. See, you have things in your life. All of us have. Psychologists created this this method of looking at people and of charting how you look at people. And it's called the Johari window. And what it means is that there are certain things about us. And if you think about kind of a continuum of kind of a scale going up and down, a scale going left and right, that if you kind of made it into kind of a set of quadrants, then you have number one, the me that I know. And the me I choose to reveal to you. So there's certain things about me you don't know because I don't choose to say. Right? And then you have people's perceptions. People's perceptions of you that you know everybody knows about you and things you don't know everybody thinks about you. Amen? That's called a blind spot. You think you're all that, but everybody else looks at you and says, they ain't all that. That's a blind spot, right? But there are things that you don't know and other people don't know that is called, psychologists call it the unknown. It's the potential about you. It's the things you don't understand. But what we know, that unknown is your new creation. That unknown is the part of God that God wants to tap into you and he wants to reveal to you who you are. See, I didn't know that God gave me certain spiritual gifts. I had to discover that. It was unknown. I'm living my life. But then I came to Christ and in him, when I started to live in him, he started to reveal things to me. And one of the things he revealed is, hey, I want to use you like this. And so you have those things about you that are unknown. You can never know them until you become a worshiper. Yes. There's certain things about you you can't find out about who you are until you become a worshiper. And worship is that acknowledgement of who God is above all. And it's the embracing of the fact that he's made you this new creation. And that new creation has been granted access to the throne of grace that is not about how you are, but who you are. Yes. Who you are. You are a new creation. People are going to look at you and see you like they always saw you. People will see your gifts in operation and judge your gifts based on their gifts. But you need to know, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Everything about me is new. Everything about me is God. Everything about me, God is working. And God is constantly working to not only show me what I need to rub off and what I need to change, but God's also showing me what is valuable about me that people don't yet understand. Come on, you are valuable to the kingdom. You are valuable to the kingdom. God needs your gifts in operation because he's chosen you. He's chosen you. And your purpose is revealed as you worship because then God starts to give you heart. The heart of God. And the heart of God is revealed in number one, becoming the worshiper with God. Number two, it becomes shown in how you take everything beyond worship and start to let your worship for God start to make you love yourself as a new creation. Man. What did Jesus tell his disciples? A man came to him, rather, and asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He said, there's two. He said, first, you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He said, the second is like the first. You have to love your neighbor, which we get, like you love yourself, which we don't get. You got to love yourself, not your old you. You got to love the new creation you, the you that God is making you to be. You got to love that person. When you love that person, then loving your neighbor is going to be easy. And when I'm struggling to love my neighbor, it's because somewhere I still haven't resolved loving the new creation or being the new creation. Amen? Amen. But God don't want that to be a mystery to you. God wants you to be a new creation. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's appreciate God. Let's just lift our hands and let's appreciate God for just a moment. If you've given your life to Jesus already, what I want you to do is just worship him for your new creation life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah. We thank you for our new creation life. We thank you. You've made us a new creation. Hallelujah. I thank you for every person in this room being bold because of the transformation you're doing in us. I thank you that old things have passed away. Everything about us is new. Hallelujah. I thank you that we are new creations. We're gifted, talented, powerful in the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you are making us new people. Hallelujah. We thank you. Our past is behind us. Hallelujah. Those that know our past, that's okay, because God knows my future. Hallelujah. I thank you. You know my today. Hallelujah. You know my frame. You know how I was made. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I thank you. You know my faults, my flaws, my shortcomings. Hallelujah. You look past all of those things. And you, by my identification with Christ, have made me a new creation. Woo! I thank you that I am the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. I thank you. I stand righteous and bold. Hallelujah. Unashamed of who I am in Christ because you made me righteous before God. I thank you. I can stand before the throne of grace in victory. Hallelujah. Your new creation life is making you victorious in every circumstance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 If you believe that, I want you to give him the highest praise right now. Give him the highest praise. Hallelujah. Give him the highest praise. If you believe that, I want you to receive it. Give him the highest praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him the highest praise. If you believe, hallelujah, give him the highest praise. Give him the highest praise, the best praise you've got. Give him if you believe it. If you believe it, give him the highest praise. Give him the highest praise. Give God your highest praise. Hallelujah. Yes, if you believe, give him the highest praise. Give him the highest praise. Hallelujah. Yes, give him the highest praise. Give him the highest praise. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Highest praise, Lord. Hallelujah for your goodness and your mercy, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your praise. Woo! We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for redeeming me. Hallelujah. From the hands of the adversary. Redeeming me from all things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for a new mind right now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I got a new mind. Hallelujah. I got a mind of love and not hate right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I got a mind, hallelujah, that I'm a victor and not a victim of anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I have suffered things, but I am victorious. Glory to God. I am not a victim. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, I got it. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Yes. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody suffered at someone else's hand by abuse, but you're a new creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That bruise is not going to define you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are a new creation. Woo, glory. You identify with Christ. It's no longer you that live. It's no longer that person that suffered that lives. Woo. Hallelujah. Somebody was abandoned. And that abandonment issue keeps coming and putting itself in front of you. And you're worried about somebody leaving you again. But you're a new creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're a new creation. It doesn't make a difference whether people stay or leave. It does not make a difference in your life because you are not formed by the people around you. You're formed by God's hand on you. Your identity is based on God's hand on you. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us been rejected. Being rejected. And that rejection trying to define you. That rejection is trying to stop you. But you're a new creation. So people that rejected you are not factors in your life. Listen, if there's something you need to change, and then once you hear, you throw away the rejection. Maybe there's nothing that needs to change. Somebody here's wrestling with mistakes they made in the past. They say, well, that's people, somebody doing something to somebody else. But me, I made the mistake. I'm the one who blew it. And I got to live with my consequences, man. You know what God says? God says, no, you don't. You're a new creation. Old things, your mistakes you made, they passed away. Your bad judgment or your bad decisions, they passed away. All things have become new. All things become new. And these things are of God. Woo! Woo-hoo. These things are of God, Edgar. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Somebody's been told that they're less than. That you don't measure up to other people and their standards. But God says, you're a new creation. I give you value. I give you value. Your value doesn't come from what other people say. Your value comes from your Father who says you're valuable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is how valuable you are. When you were a sinner, God identified you and said, they're mine.
Praise God and thanks for listening. Today's message was titled New Year, New Me, Part 2, My New Identity. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, please feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church and our events calendar, and other messages that may be of interest to you. Once again, the site is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. Until then, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.